All right, we're going to finish up our soul-winning testimonies tonight, and what a blessing it was. I just was able to hear a few of them. I haven't been able to get all of them the other day when I was traveling. I did get to listen to a few of them and trying to get caught up on what I missed on last Wednesday. And so we're looking forward to those college students. If you don't remember, I'll let Brother Jim kind of tell, but we went down to Lake Placid. This is something we do every year, and I'll remind you before they, while he's working on that, folks, when I came here to Bible College, I slipped in on a Wednesday night. I'd never heard Pastor Carter preach. I'd seen him one time up in Hiles at the First Baptist Church up there, and I'd seen them honor him there, but really didn't know anything about it. But I sat way over here in the back with my wife and my family, and I was visiting the church, had looked at the college, and was praying about where God would send me to go to Bible college at. And I sat in the back, and I heard testimony after testimony. It was this time of year, and they just told us about soul-winning testimonies. And I came this way because I had done a King James only. I knew I was King James only. I just didn't know why. And I got taught that while I was in college. But I sat over there, and I thought, man, if this is a college that takes time off a class to go soul-winning, this is just like the place that I was raised. This is just like my home church. It's just bigger, and I could learn so much from this place. And it was the testimonies. You never know, folks, even when you're giving your testimony, you don't know who's in the building and who's listening, what God's doing in their heart. And so I pray you'll listen tonight. You say, well, I know they got saved. Do we need to hear about it? Yes. Amen. I think it's one of the best things in the world that we can do to encourage each other to be soul winners. The Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. And I think it's important for all of us to be a soul winner. And you say, well, I'm not just that confrontational. We'll start out giving tracts out and then be confrontational down the road. Amen. And you say, how do you get confrontational? You'll find out. Just start handing some tracts out. You'll find out. Brother Jim.
Amen. I believe there's two things you're looking for when you're looking for a Bible college. Two core foundational principles that you're looking for. One of them is the King James Bible. And if you believe in your King James Bible, you're going to want to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it's all about. Amen. And so we're honored to represent this college, and we're honored to have students that want to get out and get people saved. Amen. So we'll start it out with Caleb Parsons, and we'll go on down the line here.
Good evening, church. We'll put this up a little bit. Good evening, church. My name is Caleb Parsons, as you just said. I'm a freshman, kind of a freshman, but we're not going to talk about that. I'm a freshman at Lemmer Baptist College, studying secondary education, but it was just a good week all around. I had Josiah Chamberlain as my partner, and while I was there, we didn't see anyone saved, but the last day, I'll let him tell you more about it. He led someone to the Lord. I didn't get to stay the whole time, because we had to go up north for a funeral, but it was just a good time, just a good time of fellowship, a good time of soul winning, and I just want to thank the church for allowing us to go.
Amen. I'm Bill Bradley, and I torture college students for a living. Amen. My preferred torture method is sleep deprivation, and I make these guys stay awake in my classes. Amen. Amen. This was my 24th soul-winning marathon, and that's not quite as many as Dr. Lee, but I'm just thinking that maybe he's going to start slowing down in the next 15 or 20 years, and I'll maybe get a chance to catch up. Amen. But I got to be on a soul winning team this time around. Most years I'm a team captain or a van driver shuttling the other soul winners around, and I had the blessing this year being part of one of the teams of four to go out knocking doors the whole time, all 4 days and out. And Brother Dave Williamson was my soul winning partner, and the two ladies on our team were my wife and Cassie, who is a freshman at the college this year as well. And between the four of us, we saw a total of 18 souls we were able to lead to the Lord. So God really blessed. It was tremendous. And one big blessing I want to share, of course, Pastor Carringer had been promoting the soul winning marathon before we got down there, and all the preaching was geared toward that. And a lady in his church came up to him Sunday night before we arrived Monday morning, and was burdened to go soul winning. She'd never been before. A good Christian lady, loved the Lord, and lived in Lake Placid, I think she told us, 30 years or more, but had never been soul winning before. And she showed up that first day and got paired up with my wife. And that lady, her first time out, got to see five or six people led to Christ that first day. And she was just beside herself excited. I got to lead three young men to the Lord that were sitting in a car in the middle of the road in the one neighborhood that we were knocking doors in. And she was standing there with my wife as I was leading these three young fellows in the car to the Lord. And when they bowed their heads and prayed to receive Christ, she just came unglued. I mean, she was jumping up and down and praising the Lord and running over there to the car, shaking those fellows' hands and congratulating them, all that. And that was one of the big blessings, along with all the souls being saved, that new soul winners would catch the fire and want to be involved in it themselves. So thank you again for sending me on my 24th soul winning marathon. Amen.
Good evening, church. My name is Josiah Chamberlain, and this was not my 24th soul winning marathon. This was only my second. And I'm a sophomore at Landmark Baptist College this year. I was originally born in Maine, and I am Danny Chamberlain's youngest and best-looking son. So, but no, the reason that soul winning marathon is so special for me, just this is my second year, like I said, but actually the first year of my soul winning marathon. God used the first soul winning marathon. I led people to the Lord, but God ended up using it to convict my own heart about my own salvation. And while we were on soul winning marathon, he convicted me about my own salvation. And only 3 months later, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So that's why soul winning marathon was so special to me. And so needless to say, I was very excited about like going this year. And so Caleb Parsons was my partner for the first 3 days of it, and then he had to leave, so I had somebody else be my partner, Isaac Lefevre, and Alan was for a little bit. And so it was a blessing. We knocked on a lot of doors, and we actually saw a lot of people that had good testimonies of salvation, and it was really a blessing. But obviously, we're out there to win souls, so I was still praying throughout the whole week that I'd be able to see somebody, or at least somebody, the Lord. And so it was the last day, and I was with Isaac, and we were out knocking doors. It was like probably about halfway through the day, and I was able to knock on this door, and this young lady answered the door, and I was able to lead her through the entire plan of salvation, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And that was just a huge blessing for me, just like thinking back from my first soul winning marathon. I got to see people saved, and I even got saved from it. And then the second soul winning marathon, just seeing somebody else saved. And it was just a huge blessing, and it was just a really encouraging week overall. And I would just like to thank everybody here in the church, in the college, and everybody that went with us. You guys just don't know how much of a blessing you guys are. You know, I grew up in Maine my whole life, and then I moved down here. But I'm just so thankful for this church and this college, and that I can now call this place my home. So just thank you, church.
Well, good evening. God bless all of you. My name is Christine DeWay, and I don't know how many soul winning marathons I've been on, but this time, like several others, I got a freshman. I don't know, you had Cassie, but that day I had Cassie, and she got to win her first two souls to the Lord that day. And so I was excited about that. And I also had Beulah, and she had people saved that day. And so all three of us got to see people, and that was exciting. And then I had my fearless bodyguards. I had Brandon, and I had Isaac. And I want to tell you, when I was a new Christian, I prayed and I said, Lord, what can I do that will bring you the most joy? Okay, that was my prayer. And he said, go soul winning and win people. And so I did. And I told you that for a reason. Now I'm going to tell you my most exciting soul winning experience on the marathon. It was my turn. I went up, I knocked on the door, and this young man, I think he was probably a younger teenager, but he was tall and handsome, and he opened the door, and he opened it really wide, and I said, hi, my name's Christine, and I'm here. We're out visiting for Highlands Baptist Church, and he just walked off like I wasn't even there. I thought, gee, that's weird. So then he comes back, and I thought, I'll try this again. I said, hola, mi nombre es Cristina, somos de la iglesia. And he just walked off again. I thought, oh, boy, now this is very weird. So now he's coming back into the living room, and I tried again. I'm like, hey, my name's Christine. I'm deaf. Are you deaf? And he just kept right on walking like there was no human being anywhere in the area. I'm like, So he walks down the hall, and coming up the hall is a little old lady. Now, I mean, she's a little old lady, and she's got a walker. And she put one foot forward, and then she brought the other one up, and then she put the walker forward again, one more footstep. And I looked at her, and I said, "Hi, my name is Christine, and we're out visiting, and we're trying to let people know that there's a new church in the area. And we just wanted to invite you and tell you all about the church." And she gets about a third of the way through the living room, and she just looked like she couldn't get enough energy to make one more step. She's just standing there hanging on to this walker. And there was a wheelchair right there. And I said, "Let me get you the wheelchair so you can sit down." So I went in and I got the wheelchair and I brought it over and I got her seated. And then I kind of used the walker as a little crutch, and I kind of bent over and I started talking to her, and I said, "Hey, do you know for sure that you've got a home waiting for you in heaven?" And she said, "Well, I hope so. I've always tried to be a good person." And I said, "Oh, I'm sure you have." I said, "But you know, there's something you can do that you can make sure that you have a home in heaven, and you can have a promise from the Bible." And I got my Bible out and I went through the whole plan with her. And I said, "See, Jesus really loves you. And you know you're a sinner, and you know you can't get to heaven without him. And he's got this free gift. You want it, don't you? Just pray with me and ask Jesus into your heart." And she did. And something I forgot to tell you, when she was coming down, when I was looking at her and got a look at her, she had this big thing on the side of her face. It was ugly. It was like a scab, not a scab, but a pussy, crusty thing on the side of her face. So anyway, we did pray, and I had to ask. I said, "What is that? Is that skin cancer?" She said, "No, it's cancer, but it's all the way into my brain." Okay. And then right on cue, here comes this young guy again, and I'm like, "Who's that?" She said, "That's my grandson. He's autistic." I thought, "Oh, that tells me a lot." And then she reached out and she patted my hand and she said, "Thank you for coming. I'm so glad you came here today." And I said, "You know what? I am too." And I told you in the beginning about joy. Now, wait a minute. You've heard you can't outgive God, haven't you? Well, I'll tell you, you can't, because that was the best joy that you ever got, is coming back. And here's this little old lady, and you think God sent somebody all the way to her house, and she couldn't even get to the door. And he still sent somebody that would go in and tell her. And it was just such a blessing that he let me tell her about the gospel. So that's my soul winning experience. And if you want some real joy, try it. You'll like it. Brother Otis.
No kidding, right? Wow, man, that's a lot to follow. My name's Brother Doug Otches, and I graduated college last year here. So this was my fifth Soul Winning Marathon. I had a good time. Brought my grandson, Jasper, with me. He's 9. A lot of you folks know Jasper. He loves it here. But Ryan was my Soul Winning partner. And between us, we won about 9 people to the Lord. And it was a blessing. But, you know, you have all your stories and all the things you can say about, you know, this happened and that happened. There was one thing that I did to Ryan a couple of times was I went through the whole plan of salvation. I said, "Oh, by the way, do you want to ask Christ to save your soul?" And they would say yes. And I say, "Okay, well, Ryan's going to lead you through the sinner's prayer." And Ryan just kind of stepped back at first, and he wasn't ready for that. But he soon got real ready for it. And I did that to him a couple of times, and he did very good. And he was actually real happy about that I did that. And so that was good. I gave him a chance to go through the prayer with somebody. And we just kind of switched back and forth like that a couple of times. But one of my most exciting things was when I had Jasper with me. Like I said, he's 9. And Jasper's job every time was to knock on the door. And he has to knock 7 times. And so he knocks on the door and he hands a tract to people, and then we get, one of us would give the spiel. And Jasper turns around to me about the third or fourth day, and he says, "Hey, Grandpa, can I do that?" And I said, "Yeah." So he did it several times and did well with it. several of the people were like, well, you know, he'd say, hey, we're from Highlands Baptist Church, and you know, we're inviting folks to church, and okay, well, you know, they take the track, and he'd say, well, I have a question for you. If you were to die today, do you know you'd be go to heaven or not? And he got real lucky, because he had several people that were all were Christians. Yep, Christ is my Savior. I know for certain, you know, so that was always a blessing, you know, that he didn't run into conflict or anything. But it was good. Praise the Lord. It was a good soul winning marathon. And, yeah, I just want to thank you, church, for sending us. It was good.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne Whitehead. I'm a first-year college student, but even though I don't go to Landmarks College, I was still able to make this Soul Winning Marathon, my fourth one so far, so that was a blessing. Throughout the entire week, I was able to see two souls saved between me and my partners, and throughout everything that happened that week, and a lot happened that week, but throughout everything that happened, my biggest encouragement didn't come from all the souls that were saved or from God answering prayers continuously throughout the week, whether that be holding off the rain or just encouraging us. And it didn't even come from other people encouraging everyone to finish off the week well. My biggest encouragement actually came from a visit that me and Kaylee had with an evolutionist. So Kaylin Bencourt was my partner for the majority of the week, and then Hannah Parker was my partner for the last day or so. So about halfway through, Kaylee knocked on this door, and an older guy answered. And so when he answered, Kaylee just went through the introduction. She introduced us and then introduced the church that we were representing. And then as soon as he found out that we were from a church, he immediately shut us down. He made it very clear that he didn't want anything to do with any religious affiliation whatsoever. So I got a notion that if I showed him anything from the Bible, then that it would just make the situation worse. So I just started talking to him to try and figure out what he believed in and how long he's believed in that, and didn't take long for us to figure out that he has been an evolutionist for a very long time and has been an atheist for the majority of his life, if not all of his life. So I still continued to talk to him a little bit, and at my last attempt to try and get him to take the track, he stopped, he looked at us, and he told us that he knew that what we were doing was a good thing, and he knew that what we were doing was the right thing to do, especially considering the day and age we live in. But he also told us that he understood that what we were doing was very important. And so I don't know if at that time if he was being serious or if he was just trying to get rid of us. But the fact that, assuming he was being serious, the fact that an atheist, someone who doesn't even believe in a God, or someone who has completely different values and a completely different belief system than what we have, was an incredible encouragement to me, just because of the fact that it was like God was telling me, he was showing me, if an atheist could have this much faith and belief of the impact soul winning can have on people, then how much more should I have as a believer in Christ, or how much more faith that everyone else as a Christian should have in the impact of soul winning and the value of that. So that alone was an incredible encouragement to me, but it also made me realize of how thankful I am for this church and how thankful everyone else should be for this church, because here we believe in the importance of soul winning. Here we believe that soul winning can't go out of style, or it has worked, it is still working, and it will always work. And so I'm thankful that we have all these ministries to prove that what we believe still works, hence like the teen group and the college and all that. And I'm really thankful for what this church has given me in my experience as a soul winner. So, but I also want to take the time to thank every one of your church members here and everyone else that has prayed for us and supported us throughout this entire time of having multiple soul winning marathons, because I believe that if it wasn't for every one of y'all's support, then God wouldn't be able to work through us like he has been so far, the soul winning marathon. So thank you.
Thank you all. What goodness. I tell you, the Soul Winning Marathon has made such an impact through the years on not only eternity, on the lives of people, but also on folks that even are here, just encouraging them, pressing them on. And so I thank God for it. I want you to turn your Bibles. We're studying the Proverbs, and I think we're in a providence of God being what it is. He's such a good God, and he takes us right where we need to be. Proverbs chapter 27 is where we were going to begin tonight, and we only have a few minutes left, but I think this is finish off our testimonies very well. Proverbs 27, I want to remind you that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon, one of the wisest men on planet Earth, that wisdom was given to him by God. He sits down and he pens a book under the inspiration of God to his son, Proverbs. He's writing to his son, trying to give him wisdom, to impart wisdom into his life so that he might be able to carry on, that he might be able to walk in the right way. The last couple of chapters that we've seen is how to, he had in chapter 25, he was trying to discern the right way. That's the way we define the chapter. In chapter 26, he was discerning the wrong way, and we had those two chapters there. And as he comes into chapter 27, I've learned even in this week, and even what we talked about, the vans, going soul winning, a lot of times our outlook, you know, our personal outlook, you know, and we could call it a glass half empty, a glass half full. Sometimes we talk about that as attitude. But as a church and as a ministry, as a husband and a wife, as members of a family, how we look at a situation, with putting on glasses from the Word of God, with eyes of praise, looking to God, not looking, you know, when a tire blows out on your car, do you look at, what did God, God is always protecting, God's always watching over me, God could take care of anything, what did God keep me out of? Was there gonna be an accident down the road and God held off the tire till right now so that in His providence I could be protected? We don't often think about praising God for the things that may be a breakdown with our car or maybe something that happens in our home, but we don't know. And even like burning the vans this week, looking at that, there are so many things that, you know, we could look at, oh, what loss, what, you know, how these things, what was taken from us. Instead, I stood beside the van and I praised the Lord, and I stood and looked at it. That van was a van that we bought, and I traveled with a singing group in that van. And I just stood beside the van and I just thought about all the good times that I had with how that van had carried us to and fro and back and forth and always took care of us and got us back to the place, had never broken down, never left us anywhere, always took care of us and brought us back. And I thought about the goodness of God, that this van that just randomly had an electrical fire, that never happened while God let us minister, but it happened right there. And so when we think about all these things, we think about soul winning, we think about our outlook, it's important because everything, our world today, America, Russia, the Ukraine, I mean, we could say anything, everything is about outlook. How someone spins the narrative. Your home, the direction of your children is how you will spin your narrative. Because this world is cursed with sin. And every home, every church, every place is going to have struggles. It's going to have problems because sin happens. People make bad choices. Don't make them bad people. Just make them sinners and they can be saved by the grace of God. But if we're not careful, we will not allow ourselves to praise the Lord in every situation and rejoice in Him. But we'll spin the narrative the way the world would spin it too. You know, when you're little kids, we call it the poochie lip disease. I mean, we could go all the way through it, but here in chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I think that, you know, for us, you know, talking about being a soul winner and being having the right outlook, you know, that is one of being a person who is looking for souls is probably in this whole. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the brevity of life, or the you know, our life is a vapor. All right, we have to come to a place in our life where I tried to hold the middle age thing as far as I could, but at this point I'm going to be claiming 100 if I keep going with middle age. Amen. I think. As we get older, it's easier for us to realize, man, I don't have as many ahead as I have behind. And for young people, they feel like they don't feel that age. They don't feel that. And we get upset with them because they don't realize it, but you didn't either when you were their age. You didn't realize that God had given you these special early years of your life to give it to Him and to spend it on Him and to give everything, because you're never going to have that youth again. But even then, the scripture here, we look at them and we think about all of what God's given us, but the scripture tells us that even the young man that sits in the building tonight is not promised tomorrow. I mean, it's not just the gray heads that have to go to bed and give it all today to the Lord because they may not have tomorrow. It's the young ones too. It's the people that'll get in a car and drive across town. We're not guaranteed to make it home, folks. And that's not just about soul winning and salvation. That is about, it deals with our service. It deals with so many things. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. When I went to bed on Sunday night, the last thing that crossed my mind was, God, protect our vans from burning up in the parking lot. I didn't pray for that. I didn't think about that. I prayed that God would hedge us about with protection, that he'd take care of our ministry, that he'd give us protection, those of us that were traveling. And I thought of all these other things, but I'm thankful that when I woke up in the morning that nobody was hurt. Everybody was taken care of. Amen. And all those things I think about, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I think that doesn't just go for me as a Christian. I know where I'm going. I can't be scared with heaven. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I met folks all through this week as we pulled up to drive-thrus and we're trying to have a meeting and I was in a different place and we tried to witness to people and give tracts to them. And you probably went through your week. I realized that there was a time in my life that if somebody had read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day, when I started to think about death, I had no hope of heaven. I knew about Jesus, but I really didn't have I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And desperately, the Northeast, the Southeast, the Middle East, everywhere in the world needs to know that Jesus can save them. And if they could put their trust and faith in him, in his finished work, that they could spend eternity in heaven. And when we realize the brevity of life, it changes once we get saved from not worrying about my soul, but worrying about someone else's soul. And for families, folks, that starts at home. Don't think, when we preach missions, Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world, your home ought to be your family's last name, all right? The people that sit next to you in church's last name. And then you can keep going on and on and on through people around you. We don't necessarily, it doesn't just have to be, places don't get saved, folks. People get saved. All right? And sometimes we have this mindset of missions that it's a place. Mission field is people. People live in places, and that's why we go to them and try to plant a church. But a church isn't a building or a place. It's a group of people that live in that place. It's a group of people that are called out of the world to meet together. And this church, God has given us such a great opportunity to continue witnessing for him. Listen, tonight, at trying to wrap it all together, you say, what should I take from this? Well, boast not yourself of tomorrow. All right? For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There are people that have been saved for a very long time. And for a very long time, they said, you know what? I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to go to that Saturday meeting. I'm going to learn to be one of them soul winners. Amen. Listen, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Yeah. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Listen, how long have you been putting it off? How long have you been, I'm going to start. Listen, there's no time like the present. There's no time like Saturday, this Saturday. You say, what's more important? I don't know of anything else that's more important. The men meet here upstairs. And the ladies meet over in the day school office area over there. And the foster club, the fishermen's, you come to bus breakfast. We'll make sure you not only get something to eat, but get where you need to go. You say, don't I get some training? Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I don't see anywhere in the New Testament, all right, that the disciples had some kind of training manual. The best thing, they were witnesses. The soul winning is simply telling somebody else what God already did in you. And the better you get at it is when you start to take those verses that somebody else showed you and then you hide them in your heart. It makes you a better soul winner. But it don't mean you need to do that before you go soul winning. You go soul winning and tell other people, this is what God did in me. And he'll do it in you if you just call upon his name. It's the best soul winners in the world. And then after, listen, you will develop. You'll go with other soul winners and listen to them give their, as Brother Doug said, spiel. All right. They'll give the plan. I mean, you know, we call it all kinds. But I mean, you know, they stand at the door and share the gospel with somebody else. And nobody does it exactly the same. Nobody has the exact same testimony. Other than it always ends with the saint because everybody gets saved the same way. And that's through Jesus. And so you listen to them and you're going to be able to take and marry some of what they've done right into your soul winning plan. And again, you say, well, I used to do that. Well, get back to it. You say, well, I can't walk the streets anymore, preacher. Well, drive them. Pull up on somebody. Grab a handful of tracts. I can't knock doors and win people, but I'll give these out everywhere I go. Amen. How about, you know, now you're not going to go to the grocery store. The grocery store comes to you. Make sure you catch them while they're dropping the groceries at your door. Hey, you, come back here. I got something for you. They'll think it's money. Give them a tract. They will definitely look at it because listen, I've been thinking about making our tracts green. Amen. That ought to set some people off. You say, that's going to be, it's going to, you know, I'm just telling you, you got to come to a place where people are interested and look at it. Most people, the more tracts I give out, the more I watch, as long as they're not absolutely super busy, either at a drive-through window, at a convenience store, anywhere I'm at, I hand one to somebody, they stop and they look at it. They begin to read. And if they only read through one verse of the King James Bible, conviction will begin inside of their heart. I can't bring conviction, but the Holy Spirit of God can do so through his word. And folks, that's all you're doing. Sometimes we say, well, what's a tract do? It's just the power of the word of God put in the hand of a sinner to draw them unto a Savior. And so again, I beg you, listen, if you're somebody that's been putting it off, how about the person that I am going soul winning? It ought to make us realize this Saturday, this Sunday, maybe the last opportunity that we have. If we really understood what this verse means, and boast not thyself of tomorrow, then every Sunday would be Resurrection Sunday at Landmark Baptist Church. Every Sunday would be the biggest bus day. It would be blowout because I'm not going to get another chance at it. Every Sunday school lesson would be the biggest lesson. You'd be the most prepared you've ever been because this is the last Sunday I'm ever going to get to teach little kids. This is the last Sunday I'm ever going to get to teach the college. This is the last Sunday I'm ever going to get to teach adults. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Every day for the Christian ought to be given our spending ourselves like this is there is no tomorrow because we're not guaranteed it. You say, how do you live that way, preacher? I live that way according to the word of God. You say, well, don't you get tired? Absolutely. And I'm just like you, all right? I know we got to go, but I want to tell you, you know, tonight I told, I didn't have intention to tell this, but you know, I mean, just, I have a family too, and they have needs that are not just spiritual needs, but physical needs. Tonight I flew in by noon and finally got home by 4 o'clock after I left the office, and I laid down under my son's van with him and we changed the oil in the van before I came back to church tonight. Not because I couldn't take it somewhere else, because it's my responsibility to train my son to be a man. And not for him to hear from dad, I'll do it next time when I get back in town. I'll do it next time when I get back in town. I realized, listen, folks, I studied this while I was off preaching this week to prepare myself. And I knew, you say, why did you do it before you came to church? Because I wasn't about to boast myself of tomorrow. I may never come back from this trip. God may never give me another opportunity to lay under the van and show my son how to change the oil. And if we would take every day and every opportunity to be with our children, with our Sunday school teachers, with our, I mean, everything. Think about it, folks. If we lived this way, boy, every date with my wife would be better if I lived this way. Every family altar with my family would be powerful. It wouldn't just be a drudgery because this may be the last time I get to do it. Every opportunity of my life. Folks, I just beg you, you had a great opportunity. Soul winning still works. I appreciate what Cheyenne said. You know, we're old-fashioned and unashamedly so. There is a group of people who think that the old ways have gone by the byways, but again, it's just because they won't work it like they used to. Bus routes still work, but it's work. The key word is the reason it don't work is because they won't work it. Sunday school still works. All these people, well, why don't we go to small groups like all these? And I'm going to make somebody mad. You listen on the radio, listen up. Turn it up a little bit. I'm about to make you mad. Small groups. Do you know what Sunday school is? It's breaking groups down into small groups and having Sunday school and teaching them. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's the same old things that have always work. It's sitting down with people and opening the Word of God and sharing the truth with them. Just taking time to do it. Amen. That's always work. It will always work if we continue to work it until Jesus comes. But we can't say, I'll put it off till tomorrow, because you don't know what the day is going to bring forth. You say, preacher, have you always lived every day that way? No, and I'm ashamed of those days. Amen. Folks, I just want to beg you. You say, what will that change? That'll change your outlook. This whole chapter is going to be on an outlook as we study this. And the very first verse, what an outlook change it would be if we would put this to practice in our life on a daily basis. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed tonight. Dear God, we come to you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. I thank you for the soul-winning testimonies. I pray for our church, Lord, that words that were said tonight, either by the soul winners or even from your word tonight in this one verse, that, Lord, you would help us to be soul winners, Lord. That you'd help us to be people that realize that we may not have tomorrow and to live every day to please you to its fullest. God, I pray that you just be with our church, Lord. I thank you for all that you've done and your protection and your watch care over us. I pray you go again with our families and watch over them, Lord. Be with our school and our ministry, Lord, as we head into a brand new week, that, Lord, you give us opportunities to win souls, to keep on keeping on and working for you and for your honor and glory. We'll thank you for it. We ask it all in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.